The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Need help filling out your bracket this year? Well, look no further than the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. With a host of autofill options to choose from, you can fill out as much or as little as you like. Pick your alma mater, let your pet lead the way, or lean on our experts to help you pick a winner. Go to ESPN.com/bracket or download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app now to sign up and play.
And as we take a look here, we are approaching 8 million brackets filled out here for the ESPN Tournament Challenge. Remember, the games don't start this year, that you need to have locked in until Friday, so still plenty of time to get yours in there and enter all our different groups and impress your friends with your sheet of integrity. It's the ESPN Tournament Challenge. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios. I'm Mike Greenberg. We come to you live every morning from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. And it is a huge juncture. March 17th is a date that we've had circled on the calendar for a very long time because it is the beginning of the new league year. All these football deals we've been telling you about for weeks, they all become official today, and the wheeling and dealing remains red hot. We've got exactly the right people to cover it for you. Let's go. Here comes the menu for hour number two this morning. It is time to get up with Russell Wilson. The Bears tried. The Bears failed. So they went to plan B. What does it mean? We're starting there. Meanwhile, Billy Big Bucks keeps banging them out. Another big prize is New England, back and better than ever. And then our next stop will be Washington. They quietly say, you've got the stars, we've got the team. Is the no-name crew clearly the team to beat? We'll answer all those questions as we get up with you starting right now in Chicago, where the Bears signed Andy Dalton. And you take a look at the reaction yesterday. The Bears and Dalton, according to Shefty, agreeing to a one-year, $10 million contract with the Bears. This after their pursuit of Russell Wilson did not wind up working out. And the reaction in Las Vegas, they yawned. After the signing, paired with the decreasing chances of upgrading quarterback in the form of Wilson or Deshaun Watson, Caesars William Hill adjusting the team's title odds from 40-1 to 50-1. That tells you they'd been hedging in the event that they did get one of these huge quarterbacks and now reacting to the fact that they did not. And so here is Adam Schefter with all the reporting. And look, we're obviously, you're well aware of all the reaction. This is not what the Bears fans had hoped, and it's not what the Bears had hoped. I think the real question here is, are they done pursuing different options at quarterback?
Well, for the time being, yes, Green. I think that they've got a quarterback that they felt pretty good about in Andy Dalton, and he was a contingency plan. But the plan for Russell Wilson wasn't going to work out. Look, Seattle's not going to deal Russell Wilson unless it knows it's getting back a quarterback in return. The Bears have the 20th overall pick. The top-rated quarterbacks in this draft are going to be off the board. Bears don't have a quarterback to deal Seattle. So why is Seattle going to trade a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Russell Wilson to the Chicago Bears right now? They're not going to do that. There's no reason for them to do that. And the Bears had exhaustive conversations with the Seahawks. They aggressively pursued Russell Wilson, and they came out of those discussions thinking, we're not going to be able to trade for this guy. Now, might that be different a month from now? I don't want to raise the hopes of Bears fans. Probably not. They're not going to get him. Okay, they're not in position to get him with the structure of their roster and the players on it right now. But the Bears couldn't sit around and keep trying to get a player that they believed at this time they were not going to be able to get. And so they moved on to the next quarterback target, in this case, Andy Dalton, who, by the way, Greeny, has gone to three Pro Bowls. Mm-hmm. He has gone to three Pro Bowls before, right? So it's not like he's some slouch, but it's not Russell Wilson.
Correct. And he led the Bengals to the playoffs on multiple different occasions. His credentials are well intact. But yes, to your point, he's not Russell Wilson. How about the Russell Wilson of it all? We say Chicago has to sit tight for the moment. How about as far as Russell in Seattle is concerned? His agent gave you four teams. The Saints and the Cowboys and the Raiders are still among them. What should we be thinking right now about Russell in Seattle?
Well, think about that for a second there, Greeny. All those teams essentially have addressed quarterback situations, right? The Cowboys re-signed Dak. The Saints signed Jameis Winston. The Bears went with Andy Dalton. And the Raiders are determined to stick with Derek Carr. So there's not an obvious landing spot on there for Russell Wilson of the teams that he listed, which means he will need to be more open to the idea that he could be dealt to another team not included in his four, or Seattle could wind up bringing him back, or Seattle could trade him somewhere else that he could veto. There's a lot that's still left to unfold here. The other thing I would say is it's March 17th, and there was no combine this year. And so GMs don't have as much information as they ordinarily would want on some of the top quarterback prospects. Seattle isn't comfortable yet to move ahead with a replacement for Russell Wilson when it's still doing its diligence, research, and studies into these quarterbacks. Are they going to be there a month from now? Maybe so. Maybe more so than today. But right now, they didn't feel comfortable sending Russell Wilson to Chicago.
All right, Shefty, outstanding. As always, thank you. You'll keep working it. Let us know if anything else breaks in the next little while. In the meantime, as far as the reaction in Chicago, I think Michael Wilbon spoke for pretty much the entire city on PTI yesterday.
This is a disaster. And it doesn't mean that Dalton is the worst guy in the league. It doesn't mean that. And this guy, Ryan Pace, should be fired if this is all he can do. And his coach, Matt Nagy, because he didn't want to coach Trubisky, he wanted to pine away for his days as an assistant in Kansas City where he had Mahomes as a redshirt. He should be fired because he doesn't want to coach Trubisky. These guys, I've been telling you this for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. They are a disaster. They have led to ruin the Chicago Bears.
I can tell you right now, the entire city of Chicago fired everybody at the Bears yesterday. And look who's gotten up with us this morning. Marcus Spears joins the party, the big swagoo, along with Lewis and Dan. Let's come to you, Marcus. So the Bears, they went after Russell Wilson. They couldn't get it done. They wind up with Andy Dalton. How you feeling?
I'm okay. Listen, I know the visceral reaction because of the response to what was exhausted to try to get Russell Wilson. But when you look at the Chicago Bears situation, Andy Dalton was probably as good as he gets. He's a better situation than Nick Foles. And look, I'm going to throw last season with the Cowboys out of the window for Andy Dalton. It ain't like we think Andy Dalton is a world beater or he going to come in and be some type of savior. But he can play good enough football with the Chicago Bears and some of the talent that they have. This is a run game, a wide receiver that's coming back that they really impressed with. But the bottom line is this, G. The Chicago Bears put themselves in this situation 4 or 5 years ago when they decided not to draft the two guys that's been talked about ad nauseum between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And this is coming. This is my concern. And I'm glad Lou on here because he had a chance to go see Trey Lance. With all of these QBs, this is where you are when you miss. This is the situation you end up in. And Chicago is paying for it. A lot of other teams have been through it as well. And now when you exhausted in a salary cap hamstrung year where you're trying to get a deal done for a big time quarterback and other teams are looking at the landscape saying it's no one else out there that we want or enough compensation to give this guy away, this is where you end up. So Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are in for another year of Chicago fans and all of those students at Northwestern, G, showing up telling them they need to get the hell out of Chicago.
Yes, and that is the reality of it. And, Lewis, you know that situation very well. You know the pressure that is on the general manager and the coach. And so that's why they were, at least part of the reason, they were swinging for the fences. So can they win at the end of the day? If Andy Dalton is their quarterback, can they do the winning they need to do to save their jobs, Lewis?
I don't know, Greeny. I'm skeptical. I'm not optimistic about it. Only because of this, man. Because, look, they know. There's a reason why they wanted someone of that caliber, of Russell's caliber, of Deshaun's caliber. Because the roster right now offensively isn't quite where it needs to be to where you can just put in a young quarterback or put in a mid-level veteran quarterback that is going to operate at a high level of efficiency. It's just not. They need a unique player that can elevate others by way of them being able to make plays when things go sideways and it gets off script. That's Russ. That's Deshaun. That's why they've been trying to get him. And look, Marcus alluded to it. The quarterback situation here has been, let's just say, mismanaged at best. It's been, you know, a catastrophe at worst ever since they started off with trying to, you know, when they had Mike Glenn in there, and then, you know, Nick comes in, they draft Mitch, or rather they draft Mitch Trubisky, it doesn't work out, Mike Glenn, I mean, you know, Nick Foles. So there's just been a lot of misses here. There's been a lot of misses. The only way they can win now, and they know this too, is that they have to play a perfect brand of complementary football. The defense has to play lights out. Special teams, kickers have to be perfect. They can't turn the football over. The coaches have to be on it as far as the game planning is concerned. And remember this, too. They're breaking in a rookie defensive coordinator in Sean Desai this year because Chuck Pagano retired. They lost Vic Fangio 2 years ago. There's a lot up in the air for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace this year, and this is not how they wanted it to turn out. That's why they were trying so hard to get someone that could bail them out when things weren't perfect. And now they don't have it.
The other part of this, very quickly, Dan Graziano, is that not only was drafting Trubisky obviously a huge mistake, but then they did the opposite of what every other team in the NFL does. Rather than trying everything they could to make it work, they keep giving up on him rapidly. It has just become evident the coach had no desire to turn him into a quarterback because, generally speaking, he's not been spectacular. But when he's played, they've won.
And he was benched last year for Nick Foles when they were 3-0. Obviously, an incredibly unusual move for a coach to make. And it does tell you how that coach felt about that particular player. And he went with Nick Foles for a long period of time, even when it was obvious that it would have benefited the Bears to have a quarterback who could move around a little bit back there and mitigate the issues they were having with their offensive line, with their pass protection. Andy Dalton is not that quarterback. So they've got to figure out some stuff in front of him that they did not have in front of Nick Foles when he was their starter last year. They did check in on Trent Williams, along with the Chiefs and the 49ers who end up keeping him. So they're aware that they need some help on that offensive line. But if they don't get it, it's hard to imagine. A couple people said to me yesterday why Andy Dalton is a better choice than Mitchell Trubisky would have been.
I have to leave it there for the moment. Marcus, I'm coming back to you. We will come back to this. I have to take a break, but we have much more to say on this one. And there are other quarterback situations coming up. Dak is back in Dallas, but could some Fitzmagic lead Washington to a division title? You know what I think? Let's see what the crew believes. Plus, the Patriots spending spree continues. What still needs to happen to make New England a real contender? That's the question, and we'll answer it next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Come on, get up.
We're back on Get Up, and the Patriots continue their offseason shopping spree. Yesterday, adding tight end Hunter Henry, 3 years, $37.5 million, 25 of that guaranteed, according to our Adam Schefter, and they will combine him with Jonnu Smith, and that should fix a significant issue in New England. The Patriots tight ends have combined for by far the fewest receptions and yards and targets and touchdowns in the NFL over the last two seasons. We still think of them as being so strong at that position because of Gronk and everything else, but the last few years, they've really struggled. So, Swagoo, I've not had you for the last couple of days. What is your take? The Patriots have been busy. How good do you think they've made themselves in the last few days?
A lot better, and it's been absolutely phenomenal to watch him. We saw Bill Belichick talk about this window that he created when Tom Brady was there to win as many championships as possible. To me, this is a reflection of that same ideology, right? Get fast and get better in a hurry, and identify the things that we've all talked about, right? Two pass-catching tight ends, two guys that can block in the line of scrimmage. Jonnu Smith is getting a little bit better. They add weapons, G. Like, what have we been talking about the last 2 years? And I know it. I wanted somebody on the outside, which they are adding that as well. But when you think about the moves that are being made, they are the weaknesses and deficiencies that they were able to watch last year. Remember, this is the first year the Patriots were removed from Tom Brady. This was the first year you didn't have the luxury of knowing that a guy would raise the level, just like we just talked about with the Chicago Bears. So now you see Bill Belichick, the general manager, who's always been pretty strong in free agency, not this much, but he's always made some moves in free agency that turned out well for this football team. But looking at New England on paper right now and thinking about how bad they were and still winning 7 games last year, they got a hell of a lot better. And they added what they needed to add, and that's offensive firepower. So hopefully Cam can be a better version of himself than he was last year as well.
Well, and they also add defensive players based upon the guys who opted out last year, and they'll be back. So they could be a lot better. But Cam is the question, Tori. If Cam Newton is the quarterback, because Bill Belichick doesn't just want to win games, they want to be a championship contender. Can they be that, Torrey Smith, with Cam Newton as their quarterback?
Absolutely. You know, a healthy Cam Newton and a guy with weapons around him is arguably the best player in the NFL. He's proven that time and time again. So I'm looking forward to watching what he's going to be able to do with these new weapons around him. Now, one thing I do love is their additions when you're talking about with the tight ends there. When was Cam Newton at his best? When Greg Olsen was right there. And what New England has done, they were consistently at their best when they had two tight ends on the inside. So I heard Marcus mention the wide receivers, wishing they had added a big-name guy. Well, New England's never had a big-name guy really since Randy Moss. Julian Edelman is a great player, but he wasn't a free agent. He was their guy. He was homegrown. He was an inside guy that could really do it all. So now you go out there, you sign Kendrick Bourne, you sign Nelson Aguilar, two very explosive players that are great route runners that can go out there and just fill a role for this team. So New England probably improved more than any team over the last few days.
And so, Graz, what the people you talk to, what do they expect at the quarterback situation? Do the people you talk to believe that they still have a significant move to make at quarterback?
Well, they believe it's possible. The Patriots have not closed themselves off to other options at quarterback. That would include drafting one in the first round. It could include bringing in another veteran. Heck, it could include jumping in to the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, or if Russell Wilson expands his list. You know, they don't have a contract with Cam Newton that prohibits them from making another move. His deal pays him $5 million, can go up to the mid-$13 millions if he plays and they win. It guarantees him $3.5 million. So they are not locked in there. That said, they like Cam Newton, right? Bill Belichick did not re-sign Cam Newton out of some bizarre stubbornness that why this should have worked and it didn't. They really feel like they had something there at the beginning of the year, but they also feel like the guy didn't have a real training camp, a real offseason. He ended up with COVID early in the season. That derailed a lot of things for him and for them as a team. They think they can operate an offense and win with him as their quarterback. So it's a fallback position, but it's one they feel very strongly about.
Marcus, can I just say that after waiting 20 years to get Tom Brady out of the division, if he gets Deshaun Watson at the age of 25, I'm going to need you. I'm telling you right now, Marcus, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need those hugs. I miss them, and I'm going to need them bad.
I have mad love for you, man, and I know you'll be in anguish, but I got to be honest. I would love to see it. I just got to be honest. I would love to see it. I would love to see Deshaun Watson in New England.
That would definitively make one of us. Okay, we'll take a quick break here. We have much more to do as this rolls on. Dallas has locked up Dak, and the Giants will still be powered by Saquon Barkley. But could Chase Young and a little magic push Washington to a title? We'll talk about that, and we'll see how sneaky Hembo does against Graziano today. Here's the showdown. Which team spent the most guaranteed money in free agency over the previous 5 off seasons? That's the question. Graziano takes a shot at it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here we go. Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Dan, the question. Which team spent the most guaranteed money in free agency over the previous five off seasons?
Yeah, it's a good question. You hear a lot about, I'm trying to rack my brain on who the big spenders were, but I do know that the Jacksonville Jaguars always spend a lot of money in free agency, even though it doesn't ever seem to work out for them. That's going to be my guess, Jacksonville.
They are second. The answer is the New York Jets, who have spent the most money. Listen to this. They have spent the most money, and Hembo wrote this on my page, and have the worst record in the NFL during that span.
Why is he doing it to you?
Why is he doing this? I put Hembo on the radio show, and now this is what... Hembo.
I don't get it.
This is very aggravating to me. From now on, no more knocking the Jets questions under any circumstances. Take a look at the tote board. I will gladly show you that Graziano has been destroying you all season long. Coming up, free agency starts today, 4 o'clock Eastern. What's going to happen? You'll find out next if I'm still here, which is unlikely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Reese's.
And Sean Farnham will join us on that in a moment. But first, back to this. Quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick signing a one-year deal in Washington for this season. And I will continue to defend my statement from this program yesterday. This is exactly what Washington needed. Fitzpatrick has been a much better quarterback the last 3 years than practically anyone gives him credit for. And it is my contention that Washington is a prohibitive favorite to win this year's NFC East. Let's see if anyone wants to change my mind. Swagoo, I'll start with you.
Prohibitive. Say another word. Give me another word, G.
They are a significant favorite. They are clearly the team to beat in the NFC East.
That's what I was waiting. I was waiting on that word, clearly.
Clearly.
And you're absolutely wrong and out of your damn mind. You think Fitzpatrick changed all of that. Here's what people don't remember. And this is not about me being a Dallas apologist. Well, maybe a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to lie TV in the morning. I'll lie later this evening. This offensive line was depleted. Dak Prescott was out for the season. This was a defense and a scheme by Mike Nolan that in no way was tailored to the talent that was on that defense. And I'm not saying that Dallas's defense are world beaters, but I know Lou knows and Torrey knows when you in a system that is not conducive to your skill set, you're gonna look way worse than you actually are as a football player. So all of those things come into my mind when you talk about the Washington football team as opposed to Dallas being the favorites because Dallas has the best quarterback in the division. But when you look at the Washington football team and you think about what this team has, it makes sense for people to start shifting their mind in that direction. But Fitzpatrick doesn't send that over the top or make it clear. It's still the Dallas Cowboys for me in the NFC East because they got Dak locked up and because Dan Quinn will be running a 4-3, which is conducive to a lot of those guys' skill set that are playing on the defensive side of the football. So, yeah, go ahead with your clearly. because you want to make me mad this morning, but I'm not going to start sweating. I think it's St. Patrick's Day, and then I'm going to just celebrate with my people.
Okay, I'm good with that. But, Lewis, let me come to you, and I will double down. Marcus just said, well, we know the Cowboys don't have world beaters on that defense. You know who does? Washington does, and that team won 7 games last year with the worst quarterback play in the NFL. They were 32nd in QBR. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be inarguably a step up from that. So I'll say it again. Lewis, they're clearly the team to beat in the division. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you, Greeny. I'm going to say that they were probably – they're right there, okay? They're going to be right there in contention for the division.
Yeah.
But they're not – I don't believe that they're clearly ahead in any way, shape, or form. And I'll say – and this is why. Look, I'm going to parrot some of the points that Marcus made, and I'm going to make another one even stronger. All right, on the offensive side, you're right. If their offensive line remains intact and Dak is healthy, look, their weaponry on offense is far and away better than anybody in the NFC East, far and away. And Dak is being paid like someone who is going to be a difference maker, and he is. And I think you can't even compare. They're not even the same galaxy, those two offenses, when everyone is healthy. Now, on the defensive side of the football, I'll say this. Dan Quinn, I would be better than what Mike Nolan was for that defense last year. And I've never coordinated a defense. I know a little bit about secondary play. I know a little bit about linebacker play. I could go in there and coordinate that defense right now better than what they were doing last year. Right now. So I will say this. They will be much better on the defensive side of the football. It's going to be a slugfest between those two because you know I like defense. And you know when you have 4 number ones on the defensive line that you've drafted in consecutive years, they're going to do some things, and we already talked about William Jackson and his impact on the defense in the secondary. But I'll say this. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan's a great story. Ryan has had a heck of a career. Heck, he's had a career throughout the entire NFL. He's played for every team. So, look, I'm not knocking him. I think he's going to be he's going to have a positive impact on this football team. But Dallas, if they can get their act together on the defensive side under new leadership under Dan Quinn, Dallas should win this division. They should win this division.
Torrey, that is going to be based in part on all the great weapons they have on offense. I assume we're including Zeke Elliott in that conversation. I would argue not only isn't Zeke Elliott the best running back in the division, he's not even the best running back in his own team anymore. Torrey Smith, what do you think of my take? Washington, the team to beat in the NFC East.
I agree with you. I think I wouldn't say the word clearly, but my big brother Marcus is like 90% of most Dallas Cowboys fans completely delusional. They have no clue what's going on. They always have the talent, and they always come up short. However, this Washington football team won 7 games last year, basically playing with an offense that was operating at like 60% of what it's capable of. I played in that offense. I didn't recognize that offense. They weren't attacking down the field like they should, and the quarterback situation was the major reason why. Now you add Ryan Fitzpatrick. I agree. He's played for a lot of teams, but he's a guy that can operate this offense. With a defense that's that strong, you don't need a superhero. You don't need Russell Wilson. You don't need Deshaun Watson. You need someone that can just operate the offense, and whether that's him or Taylor Heineke, who can play, by the way, Marcus, who I had the opportunity to be with in the huddle with myself. This is a team that can go out there and win this division.
Let me give it back to you quickly, Marcus. Go ahead.
Are we really gonna sit up here during the 9 o'clock hour on Get Up and give any team credit in the NFC East for winning the division? That's what we doing this morning. We doing that. We're not gonna think about all the things that happened in Philly. And all of the things that happened with the Giants and all of the things that happened with the Cowboys. And then the Washington football team signs Ryan Fitzpatrick and it changes the whole landscape. Not to mention anything else that transpired in this division. Tyron Smith was out. Travis Frederick retired. You had Lyle Collins who was out. The Dallas Cowboys started a quarterback this year. Y'all relax, man. Like, I got mad love for Ron Rivera and what the Washington football team is. A lot of those guys on that defense, I consider my little brothers. I think they can ascend. But you not about to sit on this show this morning, Greeny, and tell me Ryan Fitzpatrick just changed everything about the damn NFC East? I'm not going to listen to you talk about that for 3 minutes.
Torrey, tell him
Marcus,
he's wrong.
You can't sit here. he can't sit here and put Dallas on his pedestal like they have been since we had the big box screen TV.
I'm just saying what's true.
They have to go out there and get it done. They have a roster every year that can contend. So that's why I wouldn't agree with Greeny and use the word clearly. But I would say that this Washington football team has nowhere to go but up. However, we've seen what Dallas is capable of.
And I would finish it by saying that Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci would have been an improvement in Washington last year. Washington had the worst QBR of any team in the NFL last year. They'll be better than that. I got to leave it there. Go ahead, Lewis. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Andy Dalton would have been an improvement, not Ben DiNucci. Come on now.
Wait, we'll come back to this. I promise. I have people yelling at me. I'm coming back. Let's run the hurry up. Graziano, go.
The wide receiver market in free agency, Greeny, has been slow to develop. Some of the big names still looking for deals. And teams have concerns about some of these guys. Juju Smith-Schuster from the Steelers. Look, he's young, he's accomplished, but there are teams that look at him and say, is he better as a slot receiver? And if so, do we want to pay him top of the market money as if he's an outside guy? So he's still looking for a home, as well as Kenny Golladay from the Detroit Lions. He's been a number one type wide receiver for the Lions the last couple of years, obviously looking for that kind of money in free agency, but he was hurt this year, and there are some questions about whether that hip issue could be something that lingers, and teams want their questions about that answered before committing long-term to Golladay, so he continues to wait as well. A name we keep hearing a lot, connected with several teams, is Curtis Samuel from the Panthers. Several teams interested in him. So far, he hasn't found the deal he's looking for. The question, of course, becomes, do any of these guys start to reset their expectations in terms of what kind of money, what kind of years they're looking for as they look around and see not very many of the top-end wide receivers have been signed yet? They'll all find homes. It's just a question of what kind of deals they end up getting.
Samuel and Robbie Anderson had a quietly outstanding season as the wide receiving duo in Carolina last year. Okay, Graziano, stay with me. Much more football as we go. But obviously, we are ready for the start of the NCAA tournament, and we're going to start a new feature here called What Say You? And that is with my buddy Sean Farnham, who does the best imitation of Joe Tessitore in the entire world, and that's his pet phrase, and that's where we get it from. So I'm going to say make a bunch of definitive statements here, and then we'll see what you say, Farnham. Let's start with this. I went to school in the Big Ten. They are clearly the best conference in the country. I say they're going to clean up this month in the NCAA tournament. What say you?
Well, listen, Grady, what I say about this is you're exactly right. I mean, look, the ACC had a tournament record back in 2016 with six teams in the Sweet 16. I think there's going to be six teams out of the Big Ten this year that get there. Obviously, when you have four teams on the top two seed lines in any side of the bracket, they're expected to reach the Sweet 16. I've got Purdue getting to the Sweet 16. The one outlier would be Rutgers. And since the 2008 NCAA tournament, there has been a double-digit seed that has made the Sweet 16. I think Steve Peichel's team is best when they have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to beat Houston in the second round, and they're going to make their way all the way in to the Sweet 16. So I say you're right.
I like it. They have nine teams in the dance. All right, next one. I say in order to win your bracket, you should pick a champion other than Gonzaga because everyone is going to take Gonzaga. So, Farnham, what say you?
Well, listen, Grady, I don't think they're going to lose the national championship, but if I had to choose one, I would go with the Illini. So if you're going on that premise, again, we're staying inside the Big Ten. Why? Because I just believe in this conference, and I believe that, look, it's been since 2000 they've won a national championship. You talk about the top players in college basketball. We talked about top NBA prospects in the last hour. Ayo Dosunmu is as good as anyone. Luka Garza is obviously going to win the Wooden Award, but Ayo Dosunmu has done things at Illinois that we haven't seen done since 2001. Sergio McClain was the last one to have a triple-double. Dosunmu had two in four games, and they have Kofi Coburn, who is a monster of a man down underneath and looks like he just lifts weights all day long and then dunks and finishes at the rim.
All right, and then the last one. I say the team that is sort of off the radar that I would pick to make it to the Final Four is Florida State. Farnham, what say you?
Listen, Greeny, you're picking a team that turned it over 25 times, my man. Yeah, 25 times last time out. Florida State turned it over. They gave up 31 points off those turnovers to Georgia Tech. There's a couple of concerns I have with Florida State, and I like them, and I think Leonard Hamilton has done a tremendous job. They got great depth and all of that. But when you turn the ball over that frequently like they did against Georgia Tech and they're changing up defenses, that's a concern. And when you struggle to shoot the three-point shot away from home like they have, they're 10 percentage points worse on the road than they are at home shooting the ball from the outside. I have them losing to Michigan. Whether or not Isaiah Livers is healthy doesn't matter to me. I believe in Juwan Howard's team. And Hunter Dickinson would cause them a lot of problems down low in the paint.
All right, so I think I went 1-for-3, which by my standards is a pretty good percentage. Farnham, outstanding.
Thank Listen, Greedy, 1-for-3 is okay on St. Patty's Day, my man. Throw back a Guinness later on.
Okay, you're the best. What can it is an outstanding invitation. I could listen to 2 hours of that. As we continue, Orlovsky said he thinks Brady's Bucks could go back-to-back. They could sweep the table. What does Swagoo think? You'll find out next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
March is Women's History Month, and we're really excited. We'll be broadcasting the Women's Frozen Four for the first time ever. First game is tomorrow, 2 Eastern on ESPN3. The second game's at 7 Eastern on ESPNU. Both games available on the ESPN app. The national championship game will be Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern on ESPNU and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio here. I'm Greeny. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're with you commercial-free for the next 12 minutes here on ESPN, talking lots of football. Then coming up top of the hour, it's First Take. Max, Molly, and Dominique Foxworth debating if the Bears' moves have taken them out of contention and how Russell Wilson's teammates in Seattle will react to all the trade talk. First Take, top of the hour. We're with you commercial-free until then. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It's our favorite time. Swagoo says we will hear what some people around the world of sports say, and then Swagoo will tell you what they really mean. And here we go. It starts actually yesterday with one of your closest friends, Ryan Clark, was on this show giving us his top five. Yes, right, RC. And he gave us his top five quarterbacks of all time. And here's who he had at number five.
Because now it's time to piss people off. Because at number five, I don't care if it's just 4 years, it's Patty Mahomes. You heard what Drake said. Patty Mahomes didn't go for 100. That's what it's about. We saw Patrick Mahomes do things that people couldn't do when he started playing this game. We saw him start to redefine the quarterback position. MVP in his first full year starting. Super Bowl MVP in his second year. And he brings his team back to the Super Bowl this year.
Pat Mahomes will be started, talked about as the GOAT. That is what we will do. That is the narrative that will start to play out there. Listen, the thing that people didn't realize, this is Pat Mahomes' third year. For all intents and purposes, this should be his second Super Bowl. We missed that point. Like, this is not normal. What we're seeing is not normal, and this is the conversation that is going to start to stir itself up.
So that go ahead. What does Swagoo say?
I just want to remind you, G, because look, you know how much me and RC love each other. That's my brother. But do you remember the reaction when I said that down at the Super Bowl January 31st, 2020? Do you remember the response I got from my colleagues and my counterparts? That's what the hell Swagoo says. I said it January 31st, 2020. Let's move on to the next one. I told everybody this a long time ago, that this narrative was going to start and the conversation would change. And by the time we get to this point, after that Super Bowl, that was the conversation. Gee, I don't just throw stuff at the wall. People think because I'm loud and I'm passionate and I love talking about the game that I love to play and watch and cover, that I'm just throwing stuff at the wall. Well, seems like I hit Seems like the boo-boo hit the wall that time. All right, that's all I got.
I like that expression, too. I'm going to use that. Okay, next one here. On Monday, another one of your best friends, Dan Orlovsky. You're with him every single day on NFL Live. He made this bold prediction on this program about the Tampa Bay Bucs.
I think Tom Brady's going to be the first quarterback ever to have a chance to go 16-0, like a real chance to go 16-0 again. Their schedule is butter soft. I mean, they play the NFC East. They play the AFC East. I think their two toughest games will be the Rams and the Buffalo Bills.
That's what Dan said. What does Swagoo say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Dan Orlovsky. I work for ESPN, and I cover NFL football. Sometimes I go on shows and say things that I shouldn't say. That's all I got, G. you know, that's another brother of mine. I don't know what the hell wrong with him. Like, it seems like the offseason hit and everybody lose their common sense. How does Dan Orlovsky know that the schedule is butter soft and we just went through free agency and we got a draft coming up and there are moves that will probably still be made in the NFL? And last time I checked, didn't we watch the Jets beat somebody at the end of the year last year that they wasn't supposed to beat?
Like, yes.
Didn't we watch that? Didn't we see the Las Vegas Raiders beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Didn't we see that? Didn't we see all of the teams that we thought were bad end up winning some games, end up getting some things done? Man, come on, man. I said what I needed to say.
And it was very funny. All right, let's do one more. Last week, Cam Newton re-signs with the Patriots, and then he went on Instagram and he said this.
That's the thing. They've been sleeping on Boogie all 2020. But I refuse to let them slip or sleep on me in 2021. 2021's savage.
That's what Cam said. What does Swagoo say?
First, let me put this disclaimer out there. You know I'm a Cam fan, and I scream Cam damn Newton all the time. He wasn't Cam damn Newton. But basically, Cam, I got to come with a news flash, my brother. You put us to sleep last year in 2020. When we watched the games, we took a nap, all right? So hopefully, this is a prelude to 2021 where you just said it, and I don't need to repeat it, but this is Swagoo says you're going to wake us up in 2021. So I can add the damn back in the middle of Cam and Newton. Please wake us up, because you damn sure put us to sleep last year.
And that is Swagoo says, and we will see if Cam Newton is able to bring back the magic. If so, the Patriots have put together a pretty good team around him. All right, now speaking of magic, or in this case, Fitzmagic. We talked about this a little while ago and everyone was yelling and we didn't get a chance to finish, so let's do it here. Ryan Fitzpatrick signing his one-year deal in Washington, a team that, again, last season had the worst QBR in the NFL. That's not an opinion. It is a statement of fact. They had the worst quarterback play in the National Football League and still won the admittedly terrible NFC East with 7 wins. They have an extraordinary defense. They've made a few additions, and they bring in Fitzpatrick. And so I will say again, Marcus, they are a much better team. I'll say it very comfortably. They're a much better team than the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not convinced the Cowboys are the second best team in that division when it's all said and done. And I believe Washington is going to win the NFC East. Marcus, I had to cut you off earlier. I will give you the floor.
I don't care that you feel like the Washington football team don't win the NFCs. I don't care about that. I care about all of the things that you're missing while you're getting so hype about the Washington football team. And let me put this out there. I love Terry McLaurin. I think he's going to be a star in this league at wide receiver. Logan Thomas played quarterback at Virginia Tech, I believe, and now he was as good as a tight end as a team needed last year. Gibson was great out of the backfield. Like, I'm not talking about the Washington football team in the vein that they are not going to be good and Fitzpatrick is not going to upgrade the quarterback position. But where the hell is the quarterback position coming from? Did somebody play well last year for the Washington football team? Like, I get it. This is like the new girlfriend that you meet in high school in your little regional area. And then when you get to college, and then when you go pro, you realize, man, it's so many women out here in the world. But when you stuck, you get the biggest fish in the little bitty pond, which is Fitzpatrick in this case, and now everybody think you're on top of the world. Gee, stop with that. Don't start this narrative for football fans and put Washington football team in this situation. They are going to be better. They are going to be a good football team. I believe that. But for you to get on here and talk about clearly the favorites in the NFC East, that is crazy. That's out of your mind. And I'm glad my bald head brother Lou on here today so I don't have to get my blood pressure up and I can let him take it and tell Lewis. You why you're crazy as hell too.
Lewis, the last three seasons, Ryan Fitzpatrick has a higher QBR than Deshaun Watson. He has a higher completion percentage than Tom Brady. And he throws for more yards per attempt than Russell Wilson. Those are numbers. He has not been the same guy the last 3 years, Lewis Riddick.
Did we lose? I was Lewis? Taking a drink of my Propel here, Green. No, oh. You didn't lose me, Greeny. I think you just took the camera off me. I was trying to do something funny, okay. And y'all messed it up. But it's okay, though. You know what? Look, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I do. And we know the impact that he has on quarterback rooms and offenses and teams overall. The guy's like a folk hero. He really is.
Yes.
But, look, I think they just don't have – I just don't think they have enough firepower on offense to be able to continually rely on the defense, and especially the front four, to always bail them out of games. Yes. I still just don't think they have enough yet. And look, and Marcus laid out the fact that, look, they have some young pieces, man. Antonio Gibson is an absolute stud. Terry McLaurin is a stud. They need more, though. They need more. And if Dallas's offensive line will stay healthy, Dallas is going to put up 28 points, 28, 30 points with Dak. They just are. And I'm not saying they're going to do that against Washington, because, you know, Washington has a bunch of game records up front. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think we can't forget just how poorly constructed Dallas was on defense last year. That was an abomination what they had out there on defense. It was embarrassing to watch. They will be much better, and I understand people want to hate on Dallas and go, every year we talk about them and say they have all this talent. And I get it. I understand why. But a lot of what ailed Dallas last year, It was structurally just inefficient right from the get-go, and hopefully they fix that. I think it's going to be a two-team race. I don't think the Giants are going to be in it, and I don't think Philly's going to be in it. But I don't think Washington is clearly above Dallas, as much as people don't want to hear that.
All right, and let's finish it with this. Again, one guy who was in Dallas last year, of course, was Andy Dalton. Yesterday, he signs with the Chicago Bears. Graziano, for those who were not with us at the beginning of the show, does this mean the Bears are officially done in the Russell Wilson conversations?
No, because it can't be officially done, because there's still a possibility that Seattle would decide to change its mind and put Russell Wilson on the trade block. But what it tells us is right now he's not, and the Bears are not a team that has enough to offer to catch Seattle's attention. So we know they've tried. We know they'd like to be able to do it. But as of now, Seattle's not doing it. And even if and when they do, Chicago's still going to have a really tough time getting him.
And so, Marcus, I got 15 seconds. Russell Wilson will be in Seattle this year, yes or no? You've got the crystal ball. Will Russell Wilson play for the Seahawks this year, Marcus?
Yeah, he'll play for Seattle this year. He'll end up in Seattle, and I think next year will be the year we see Russell Wilson get moved, for
well,
sure.
That's a complicated situation, obviously, with all the talk that's been out there and some of the things he said. We'll see how it plays out. Thank
you so much. I'm
going to
call you after the show, G.
Okay.
I'm calling you.
Call me on the radio. I'll be on for 2 hours. In 60 seconds, I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio, so I will see you there. First Take starts next here, now. Lou, this man.